The Gospel of John, and tonight we are in that wonderful fourth chapter. God willing, we will finish it up. But tonight, there really is a pouring forth in this particular section we're in tonight of such magnificent type and shadow of bridal truth. If you recall last week where we left off, was the woman at the well. And thanking God in that precious testimony there, especially in the 16th verse. It said, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Now, we come to find out, and Jesus knew that that wasn't, she didn't have a husband at that time. Matter of fact, though, that she had five. She had went through one way, shape, or form, we don't know how, and was now living with a man. We understand that Jesus was making it known, honey, I know all about you. And you know what? I'm still head over heels in love with you. Isn't that wonderful how he is? That's our Jesus. But there's a depth in this that is another layer. And as we go into understanding what was really being said on another layer there, he said, go and call with a loud voice to your new husband. And then he tells her to come here. And you can say, well, is the Lord speaking in a parable? Is the Lord speaking in... No, it's an encouragement. It's a type and it's a shadow that he's calling out at this time. Because, brothers and sisters, it takes us right to the introduction of what the Father is now looking for. The true worshiper, the true worshiper who worships me in spirit and in truth. And see, the true worshipers, brothers and sisters, that we're going to get into tonight, there was no longer going to be worship in ceremony or events any longer. Go in and read through Galatians and what the Lord says about those things. Those things are finished. Those things are done. They were a type. And now, praise God, the high priest has come, Jesus Christ, is now entered into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. It is finished. Praise the Lord. And so now this worship is not going to be in ceremony or events. It's going to be in his spirit, saith the Lord. And praise God how the Lord decided to bring this precious testimony out. It wasn't to a giant crowd. It wasn't to this amassing of people in this major event. No, it was a monumental event. And it was to one despised Samaritan woman at a well that Jesus was going to unveil this precious, wondrous truth. And praise be to God. Let's get right at it here in verse 23. But the hour comes, and now is. See, notice that. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And you think about how that was all set up as well, too. That veil was rent in twain. Do you see the intimacy that God wants with you? Do you see no longer is it going to be somebody else, in a sense, going in and there's going to be this remembrance of sin every year and all of that? No, my son paid it all. And my son, praise God, died and ascended, hallelujah, to bring many sons to glory. I want that intimacy with sons, praise God, of glory. And that's what this is all about. But it has all changed, is what it's saying. And it's changing us, and it's changing us quickly from glory to glory into his very image. And brothers and sisters, this but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth is one of the most inspiring verses in the whole Word of God. Notice what it says here. It says the hour now is. And what this means is the moment is now. The season is now. The time is here. And what time was being introduced is the church age. The church age had come or was coming, and the pursuit, hallelujah, of the bride for Jesus was going to be unleashed when the true, sincere, this is what this means, clear to the light ones that want to win his very best. And that is such a precious truth, brothers and sisters, that word sincere, that clear to the light, the transparency, that truly it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's nothing to be magnified of ourselves. We magnify the grace of God. We're so thankful again that it is his finished work and that it is his workmanship in us that does it all. And this is what is so precious, is that this precious truth shall worship the Father. Isn't that something? Look at that. Worship the Father in spirit and in truth. See, this is love shed abroad time. This is the Holy Ghost worship here, brothers and sisters. This is full truth and knowledge time. We haven't gotten there yet, but we know that Jesus soon is going to tell the disciples, I must go, I must ascend, I must go to the right hand of the Father. And the reason is so that I will send to you the Holy Ghost, who has been with you and shall be in you. Isn't that wonderful to know? Praise God. And this is this worship in its ultimate that is being brought forth here in testifying to this woman, that the worship shall be in spirit, in the Holy Ghost, and in truth. And praise be to God, it all broke forth at Pentecost, didn't it? And they tarried and they waited. And praise be to God, that baptism with fire, that baptism in the Spirit, as Jesus said, not many days hence, and it's going to hit you. And it did, praise the Lord. And it says, and they all spake. They all spake in that upper room because they were all filled. They all speak with other tongues. Hallelujah. And this is what this is bringing forth. We know that the Word of God tells us the Holy Ghost is the one that sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. We know that it is the Holy Ghost, as it says in the Word of God, as Jesus said to those disciples, I have many things to say to you. He had been with those disciples for over 3 years, pretty much night and day. He had ministered to them. He had told them all these things. But he said, but there's so much more that I want to tell you, but you can't understand it right now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Ghost, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. So love gushing out of our heart, all truth, praise God, coming into our hearts. My goodness, that's the worship and the worshiper that God is looking for and to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. And think of this. And again, we'll get to chapter 5 if the Lord tarry. But in chapter 5, it's so precious because what it so reveals and is so absolutely apparent is that you cannot honor the Son without, you cannot honor the Father without honoring the Son. It's all in him. So this is how we worship the Father. How do we worship the Father? In the Holy Ghost and in the truth. Jesus, truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? The Word. Hallelujah. When we worship Christ Jesus, we in turn worship the Father. We give praise to him because it's all in his Son. That's why he said, whatsoever you do or ask, anything and everything there is, you do all in the name of my Son, Jesus. I've heard Christians get confused. They try to pray to the Father. They try to pray to the Holy Ghost. Pray in the name of Jesus, and it's all done. Praise his name. Isn't it wonderful? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. We've already gone through that. I've put everything in him. It's all in him. He's done it all. By him all things were made. By him all things consist. By him all things hold together. It's by him. It's due him. It's for him. And it's to him. It's all him. And we thank God for this precious truth. But see, this is what the Father and His plan is all about, magnifying His Son. Now think about that, magnifying His Son in the simple precious truth. How then is His Son magnified in us? By grace. Amen. By grace. That we know that we are His Son's workmanship. Amen. That we know that, praise God, that His Son's hands, the potter or the master, has His hands, praise God, on the clay, which is us. And whenever you think you got to do anything, I pray to God that you get a real good, vivid picture of a lump of clay. And sit there and watch it. And I'll assure you, it can't do a thing until the master gets his hands on it. Amen? And then the water and the oil and all that speaks of the Holy Ghost and so wonderful. I don't want to get drawn away in that, but it is so precious. But notice this, and one thing I always love to bring out, because it's so precious to us. The word worshiper. Oftentimes we think of worship again as, and it is a Hollywood thing. It is a wonderful thing. But, you know, this, that we're down and somehow on our face and we've not moved and we're in some type of a state of absolute fear. Even people think of it somewhat as fear. The word worship, and this word is defined in its truest and most intent, drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss. Isn't that beautiful? See, that's what He wants. He wants ones that draw nigh in fervent love to kiss. Now, I don't think it's a stretch when you talk about fervent love. We're getting pretty intimate there. And this again, think of who He is speaking to and who He is testifying to and what He has just told this woman at the well. Go call with a loud voice your new husband. And now I'm going to tell you how it all comes together by the Holy Ghost. He'll put this in your heart. So thanks be to God for this. See, this is the lover's call. And they that have this love, this desire for bridal love, shed abroad worship and dwelling with Christ, and in that word are ones that are full of the Holy Ghost. As it says, yea, the deep things of God by His Spirit, and those deep things are in spirit and in truth. Now let's go on to verses 25 and 26. The woman saith unto Him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Now see, this is so sweet because this shows the heart of this woman. She knew the Scriptures. This woman was looking for the Christ. And brothers and sisters, let this speak to us. Anybody who is looking for the Christ will find Him. I am He. I am that I am. As the Word of God says, he that wills to know will know of the truth. And you think of what this woman knew. You know the greatest thing that she knew? That He will tell us all things. That this is it. That this Word is everything. That's what she knew. She may not have known a lot of things. She might have not been very respected by many. But because of that, there was an appointment that Jesus Christ said, I must go to Samaria. And you think about what that must go to Samaria was for. It was for one woman at a well. Praise the Lord. And that was so precious that the Lord, again, was so encouraged to get to this precious woman and to tell her about, and again, this would introduce, yea, the deep things of Christ. But she was looking for Him. She was looking for His voice. She was looking for the Word. And praise God, what met her was He, I am. Now verse 27. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? See, this magnifies again, as we mentioned last week, there was such a rift between the Jews and the Samaritans. Remember, the Jews thought that they were a whole different level than those Samaritans. The Samaritans, they believed, were the half-breeds, because those Assyrians that had come in to the northern kingdom there and took them over. So they really didn't have anything to do with them. As well, I am confident that these disciples also saw the appearance of this woman being out there at night and all by herself. It kind of spoke for itself. She was a castaway even among the Samaritans. And why was Jesus spending time with the likes of her? But see, they kept their peace, but Jesus still knew what was in their hearts. So again, you're never going to fool him. And before we get into the meat of it, there is some good stuff on the trimmings too. Notice here, the Lord mentions it and he understands it. But he does not dwell upon their prejudice, their condemning in a way, or you know, this condensation kind of thing, and this discrimination in a sense, and neither does she. And let this speak to us, brothers and sisters. There's a lot of hurtful things out there. There's a lot of people that might not think much of you. But that doesn't matter anything, because the one that matters is the one that thinks everything about you. And she was captivated with him, and he was captivated with her, and it didn't really matter what was going on. They had love to deal with instead of all of the nonsense. But what was being prophesied here is such a depth, and now, by the grace of God, we'll dig into it. The disciples had no idea what this meeting was about. And remember again, and I will instill this again, just a few verses ago, Jesus Christ said to her, go call to your new husband. Meaning again, that again, it was symbolic that I'm the new husband. I am going to be this bride, bridegroom. Call and come here. And praise be to God. This is how this was all set up. But notice, the disciples had no idea what was going on at that well. Because in truth, the disciples, brothers and sisters, will be placed ruling over the 12 tribes. The disciples' place is not bridal. No, they have no idea about the bridal proposal because it wasn't for them. So that's how we begin this precious truth. And stay with this on it, because it just continues to be so wondrous in how definite this calling out to us is. Verse 28, it says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So here she left her water pot at the well. Speaks of many things. I'll just touch a few here. But see, there was no need for the old stuff anymore. She had the new. She had the living water in her. She out of the way of the old things, and all things have become new. But as well, brothers and sisters, let it speak to us. The only place our vessel needs to be is at the well. The only place where we will ever be full is right here in the Word of God. And I thank the Lord for that as well, too. But brothers and sisters, it's so precious and wonderful that it even goes on here, because she's even more of a type of this bride for Christ, this vessel that adds to the usefulness of the husband. Because as it says, she goes and says, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. See, she gave witness. She was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. She was not ashamed to tell others about Jesus. Even though they did not think much of her, praise be to God, that wasn't even on her mind. Everything about her and what her mind was on was this one that told her everything about her. And I want you to think about this. Jesus told her some things that weren't very pleasing about herself, did he? pointed it out. Now, honey, matter of fact, you got five husbands. And the one that you're with right now isn't your husband. So you would think that somebody start telling you stuff like that in your life, I don't think you'd be telling anybody about them, but how bad they were, huh? So something happened with this woman. See, it was love. She wasn't ashamed. See, isn't that wonderful how Christ is with us? And again, this is the bridal love. See, children like would be offended. Legal ones would be offended. Isn't that what happened to them when they were going to stone that woman and Jesus bowed down there and started writing in the ground and those slithering snakes just all went out? Never heard from them again. But this woman you sure heard of and heard from. He said, you know what? He told me everything I ever did. And I love him. And I want you to know who he is. He's the Christ. He's the Christ and he's here. Do you see how love ravished her heart? Do you see how beautiful it is to us who love the Lord to know that he knows us? That nothing's hidden from him. It was a comfort to her. See, this again begins to speak even more of that mature son or that bridal truth. As a husband and wife, my wife knows things about me that nobody does. And can you imagine? She still loves me. And I adore her as well too. But that's the beauty of it, is all of those secret things that would be so awful in a way. But it's in Jesus. It's the most beautiful of intimacy there could ever be. He's our solace. He's our satisfier. He said, oh, honeys, I've been tested in all this stuff and all of these different things. And praise God, I've lived it for you. And she knew that and she took that. And it was such great comfort to her of this love that she is loved with. And I think, praise God, he knows me and still loves me. Hallelujah. That's the Savior. That's the Lamb of God. That's the one who has taken all my sins away. Hallelujah. Now let's go on to 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. See, again, the disciples had no clue of what was going on here. And let this speak to that. Isn't that something? Jesus, again, this is what's such depth in this truth. He's ministering to this woman. These are the disciples. And they're supposed to, in a sense, be the ones that are the closest to him and all these different things. But yet Jesus even has to tell them later, after 3 years of being with him, look it, guys. There's so many things I wanted to tell you. I was even thinking, remember like I was talking to that woman at the well when you started? You can't even understand that. Of really what that was meant to, what I was talking about there. But now I'm going to go so that the Comforter would come into that all truth. But see, this is again that testimony, brothers and sisters, which is so precious. What has been offered to us is a better thing. The precious place that Christ has, again, for us, if we'll take it, is that bridal in the midst of the throne. Praise God, the 12 disciples are going to be absolutely thrilled and ecstatic with what God has for them. They will be ruling on 12 thrones over the 12 tribes. Praise be to God. That cup will be full and running over. There'll be nothing that'll be lacking. They'll be happy, in a happy that we can't even imagine, but yet even a better thing for us. And what is it all by? By faith. Just believe. Praise God. Isn't that something? It's just like those disciples. He called them to it. He chose them. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. And you know what? Those disciples weren't qualified for anything. Even those that looked at him at the day of Pentecost and all, aren't these just a bunch of dumb fishermen? And yet, look at them. They're all speaking in perfect this and perfect that. It's because they're God's choice. Know it. He's got you, and it's good. Believe him. Hallelujah. So, there it goes. In the meantime, while the disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Again, speaking of truth that they couldn't eat yet. Remember, as the Bible tells us, we should be eating strong meat. That's when those Galatians were, again, reprimanded by Paul. And Paul said, man, I'll tell you what, you guys should be eating strong meat. Now I got to go back and feed you with milk. This is the strong meat, the introduction of, yea, the deep things of God by the Spirit that the Lord is bringing forth here. Again, all of this type and shadow coming forth. So again, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Poor Jesus. Could you imagine him just kind of grabbing his head and just shaking his head all, you know. Just, it's so cute. But Jesus in his such beauty saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And that word finish is telio. That's the completion of it all, to finish it. Hallelujah. That was the whole purpose. Praise God. His mark, hallelujah, his prize was this finish. Just like our calling, the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, if by any means. So he goes on to say, not ye. Now listen to this. There are yet 4 months. So he says, say not ye, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And here it is. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, or he that reapeth receiveth rewards, and gathered fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. So again, I sent you to reap something that you'd never planted. I just want you to get in there and get the reward. Look what he's telling them, shaking them up. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Praise the Lord. Let's go back and look at this real quick. Notice here first, the disciples are still calling him master. The woman at the well is already calling him Christ. See how fast. Again, it's not by title. It's by revelation. It's by his Spirit, saith the Lord. Well, I've sat in that pew for this many years. Who do you think you are? Huh? Run, baby, run. That's all I can say. You better keep it running. So, praise God. And Jesus speaks here of the meat. And what is the meat? The will of the Father. And what is the will of the Father for his life? That telio, the completion, to make it perfect, to finish it. And again, there's no difference in our life in the type of the finish that he wants. See, he wants all of his sons, yes, to glory. And that salvation with eternal glory. Amen? See, to be that son glory. And that, again, is so magnified in the dispensation and the message that we are given through Paul's gospel. Again, the mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And here's what he's emphasizing, is the harvest. The harvest, not the planting, but the harvest. So what he's saying here is be ready. Come to the full knowledge of the truth. It's all there. Just see it. See my coming. Lift up your eyes. See the harvest is ready and finished. The disciples here so magnify the kingdom age mentality. The disciples are still stuck in thinking of a servant, a palm waver type, always dwelling on the planting, always dwelling on the mission, whereas the husband is always about the day I come, the day I capture you away, the day of the harvest. Isn't that wonderful? Listen to this. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I love this. See, he's mining deep right away. And again, I just mentioned this, but in verse 36, and you should really, really underline this one. the reapers. Look at that. And he that reaps receiveth rewards. That's what wages means there. He that reaps and gathers fruit unto life eternal. As the word of God says, be wise unto salvation. Know it. Salvation with eternal glory. Know it. Know that high calling. Know that sun glory. Know that first rank. Praise God. That's what he wants us to know and believe and to apprehend. As praise God, he has apprehended us. Now, the reapers gathering fruit for eternal life. This is a portion. I should say, the word says there is a portion for the sower and the reaper. But Jesus says very specifically in verse 38, I sent you to reap upon what ye bestowed no labor. Brothers and sisters, this speaks of the time that we're in. We're in the great, great, great time of grace, grace, grace. He wants us to take of the cup of salvation and drink. Amen? Yes. Worship gathered for reward. Not the thought of servant here. It's not. This is the thought of the owners of it all. Go in there and get it. It's all been planted for you. It's all there for you. It's all ready for you. The table's all set. Just go in there and feast. Praise God. This is what the encouragement is. What the fathers have sown. Hallelujah. Oh, what a time it is. As the word of God tells us, we have exceeding great and precious promises. And yes, as it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 at the end, these all of those worthies of faith, magnificent things. But we have a better thing. And without us, they cannot be made perfect. They cannot be made complete. Hallelujah. The sowers and the reapers. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. I bet those ones were so just mystified that this woman, well, we've told you whatever you did, and we've been saying about what you did a long time. And we've shunned you to go to the well at night. And now this fella comes in here and tells you all that you ever did, and you're all excited, and you're telling us he's the Christ. They knew something was different about her, didn't they? Amen? And I'll tell you what, there was a glow. You talk about Moses coming down from the mount. This woman was coming out from the well, and it was powerful. And she wasn't alone anymore. They were going back there saying, there's something different about her. They perceived that she had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. And what a precious, precious testimony. See, don't ever think that you've gone too low, that you've sunk too far, that God can't do anything with you. Oh, you are just ripe for God to magnify himself in you. And I am so thankful for the grace of God. There's so many things. I mean, you know this. I mean, we could be in this chapter for all the ages to come. And it kind of is, because it is. It's the whole gospel right here. But verse 40, let's go on. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is so wonderful. This 2 days, brothers and sisters, two again speaks of this sufficient witness, but it speaks of the age of fruitfulness. Notice again, in these 2 days, many more believed because of his own word. Isn't that wonderful? Because of the word of God. And that is, again, this age that we're in right now. There's many more that are believing. This is the age of this fruitfulness. And it's coming to a close. And as it says here what is that verse there? Oh, I'm jumping a little bit ahead. I don't want to get too ahead. But the close is coming because these white fields of the Gentile harvest that we're going to read about here in a minute are going to be ready to be gleaned. And brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this. This was all done. All of this testifying, all of these ones coming unto him were after he left his own land. Remember, he had left Galilee. He had left, in a sense, and we're going to read here in just a moment, he wasn't the prophet in his own land. Nobody's listening to him. He came unto his own. This is what this type is. And his own received him not. Jesus came. That word came to the Jew. But the Jew didn't receive it. Turned to the Gentile. And this is exactly what this type is in these Samaritans. And here in this little portion of Scripture is this little concise package of basically the church age and going into the tribulation. And matter of fact, at the end of this, you're going to see how we get to the end of the tribulation, where he turns back to the Jew here in just a minute. But this is what is so wonderful about this, is that he spent those two extra days there, just like he's doing right now in this great, great time of grace. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves." And brothers and sisters, that is exactly where we're at. I'm so grateful for Paul's gospel. But it's the gospel. Amen? Praise God. We're not riding on anybody's coattails. And I've heard that testimony so many times from ones in this meeting about their parents or about their pastor, about all of these different things. And I am so grateful to God that the Lord has encouraged me so much. Again, this is his ministry. We are all ministering vessels. That's the word of our Lord. I thank God that we are mouthpieces for that word. We are joints of the body that supply one another in that. But I thank the Lord. We go unto him alone. Out from among the camp. And that is the path that we are going on now. Thank you, Jesus. But verses 44 and 45. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So again, the prophet had no honor in his own country. And again, this is so wonderful, speaking of this precious type and mystery in here. So now he returns back to his own country. He goes back to the people in Galilee. God's promise will be fulfilled, brothers and sisters, for Israel. At the end of the tribulation, he will send his son for Israel. And this is what this little portion of scripture was. Remember, at the very beginning, we all started at the wedding in Cana. Okay? And that, again, introduced that bridal truth, all of that wonderful bridal truth to us. It all happened there. Also at Cana was the ministry as well, too, of that Christ again came unto his own, and his own received him not. And what had happened at that time is Christ went out from his own, met this woman at the well, and here came forth the whole counsel of God. Here came forth the time of the true worshipers that would worship him in spirit and in truth. And he would dwell there these days, as it says, and minister to them, and many more believed. And then he talks about the harvest. He talks about, well, I'll tell you, those fields are ripe. Okay, so now again, that time of the tribulation, praise God, has come, and we're moving through it here as we go into this end of this fourth chapter. And that is right where he turns back to. He's going to go back to Cana, where it all started, the wedding. Do you remember what the word Cana means? It means zealous to be acquired. Zealous to be acquired. Zealous to be taken, okay? Now, remember, the very first time we heard in our studies here about Cana was the wedding, amen? And again, that bridal company is the one that is the first, then the foremost, that is zealous to be acquired, and that's why she will be taken at the first trump, praise God. But now that he returns back for Israel, let me tell you something. Israel, at the time of the end of the tribulation, will be zealous to be acquired. You know it. with all of those things that are happening, they will turn to Christ. As the Word of God says, God's unfaithful wife, which is Israel. Israel turned away. And in the Old Testament, and the prophets talk about her as the unfaithful wife, will turn back to him as his faithful wife. And that is the Father's wife, which was Israel. See, isn't that wonderful? Christ Jesus has a bride, and the Father has a wife as well, too, in Israel. So we thank God for that. But this is right where we're at, so let's go ahead and read verses 46 through the end. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for his son was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. So again, we are getting to the time right now where Israel is getting to the point of death. Israel is going to be, matter of fact, completely surrounded, as we know, in this time of the Great Tribulation, to be utterly destroyed. See, don't think it's strange that there are countries today that do not want Israel to exist. And there's no other way that you can explain that except right here and going back to Genesis and talking about those sons of Abraham and the sons, hallelujah, of Isaac. All of that conflict started all right in there. And that hatred was going to go forth all the way through. And this is what it will culminate in. But see, brothers and sisters, this is exactly where we're at, is we have this time of this sickness to death, this type of Israel. Jesus saith unto him, the nobleman, 49th verse, saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word, and Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour that he began to amend, meaning the hour that his son was getting well. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in that which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Galilee Judea, into Galilee. So let's just close this up with all of this precious bridal type. What we read about here was a certain nobleman. The word nobleman means one who belongs to a king. And let me tell you something. Israel, even though they don't want to believe it, belongs to a king. They belong to Jesus. They do. And he's their king. And this is so wonderful how this sets it up. So a certain nobleman, one who belongs to a king, has a son that is sick unto death. And Israel, praise God, in the time of the tribulation, will be pressed and be encouraged to turn to God. They will be at the point of death. And once again, even like in the wilderness, did you see how it said in verse 48, then Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. That's speaking again of Israel in the wilderness. Remember, it said all they knew were his acts, but Moses knew his ways. And remember how all they wanted to see was the next miracle and the next miracle. They didn't believe in him. All they wanted to do was to see what he could do. And this is exactly what Jesus questions this man with, is that, oh, it's just about my acts. No, but this time it's going to be different. This man will not let him go. He said, you come down or my son will die. And that come down means you have to literally descend. And you think about that. What's going to happen? The Lord's literally going to descend, isn't he? He's going to descend on that white horse. He's going to come down, and he that is faithful and true. And let me tell you something. He's going to descend. As this man says, who represents Israel, unless you come down, we're dead. Isn't that going to be something when Israel says that someday? How they blaspheme Jesus Christ right now. But I'll tell you what, the Lord's going to have his remnant. The Father's going to have his wife too. And Israel is going to cry out for God. Hallelujah. And in verses 50 and 51, how mighty, Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him and said, thy son lives. See, listen to that. The man believed the word of God. And that's what Israel is going to turn to. They're going to believe the word of God. And it's so wonderful. When he went down, the life came back. That went down means he surrendered. Israel's going to surrender to that. And God will save them. So in verses 53 and 54, the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and his whole house. And again, notice that same hour, it was the seventh hour. It was the seventh hour when that fever left. If you think about the seven-year tribulation, it's at the end of that when it is all wrapped up. It's the seventh hour. And that's when all of this is healed, the end of the tribulation. That fever is going to be gone. And what a rejoicing it will be when Israel turns to the Savior and into the millennium. I always love this, as the Word of God tells us. The Jew in the millennium will be the ones that will go out to every creature and preach Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. A lot in here, and I pray this is encouraging to you. And I just have to tell you, it's a feast. It really is. I'm always amazed as the Holy Ghost continues to minister these little deep things. But even though they're deep, brothers and sisters, it's the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. It's all right there. It's just line upon line and line upon line and precept upon precept and precept upon precept. And I just pray all the time. I say, Lord, I don't want this to be any head knowledge. I want this to be in love. And in love, it's exciting. And in love, there's a drawing. And in love, it's like, okay, the Holy Ghost, begin to feed on this. And like Brother Hill said, then you're like that cow with all them stomachs. And you go sit down at the tree, and might not be a pretty picture, but you keep burping up the cud. I mean, burping it up and then chew the cud and swallow it down and then burp it up again and chew it again. I'm starting to understand that a little bit. It's a beautiful walk. And someday face to face. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.